Part 4.
Listen to the conversation and answer the questions. Put a circle round the letter of the correct answer. Look at the questions. An example is done for you. You will hear the conversation twice.
Today's interview is with Mrs. Beth Tyler, a woman who almost single-handedly made a tremendous difference in her community. And she made this difference not just for the human inhabitants, but also for many species of plants and animals. Like so many residents, Mrs. Tyler was in the habit of walking her dogs on a stretch of undeveloped coastline just to the north of the town. But unlike many, when she saw the notices up about the forthcoming development of the area into a golf course, she didn't just grumble about the state of things in the world, she took action. She managed to mobilise the community, and together they convinced the town council that the development was not in the best interest of the town or its residents. Welcome, Beth.
Thank you, Todd. My, I'm blushing a bit from your introduction. I didn't really do anything that anyone else wouldn't have done, if they were able to. I'm retired now, you see, so I had the time.
You're far too humble. To begin with, can you tell us a bit about the place? It's called Skipper's Strand, isn't it?
That's right. And it's actually taken its name from a kind of small brown butterfly that appears in large numbers there for several weeks every August, and has done so for as long as anyone can remember. We call them skippers, you see, because of the way they fly from plant to plant, kind of in hops and jumps. I can remember when I was a child, and my parents would always take my sister and me there, in August, with our butterfly nets, and we would run around for hours trying to catch them. I don't think we ever caught any, thank goodness. Anyway, as the town built up throughout the 60s and 70s, Skipper's Strand was left, miraculously, more or less in its natural state. And by last year, when they were getting ready to develop the golf course, it was one of very few natural coastline areas left in our part of the country.
When you saw the signs announcing the development plans, how did you feel?
I was shocked and saddened, naturally. This was a place I had grown up with, and in turn my children had grown up with as well, and everyone I knew felt the same way. I don't know how the city could even have considered allowing it to be developed. I guess they were blinded by the possibility of more tourism and profit.
And then what did you do?
Well, I started speaking about it to everyone I met first, and found out that we all felt strongly that this shouldn't happen. Then I began to read up on some of the laws about development decisions, very complicated stuff. It was a slow process, quite discouraging. I was just looking everywhere for a way that we could exercise our rights and have a say about the future of our town. In the end, the breakthrough came from the little brown butterflies.
Today's interview is with Mrs. Beth Tyler, a woman who almost single-handedly made a tremendous difference in her community. And she made this difference not just for the human inhabitants, but also for many species of plants and animals. Like so many residents, Mrs. Tyler was in the habit of walking her dogs on a stretch of undeveloped coastline just to the north of the town. But unlike many, when she saw the notices up about the forthcoming development of the area into a golf course, she didn't just grumble about the state of things in the world, she took action. She managed to mobilise the community, and together they convinced the town council that the development was not in the best interest of the town or its residents. Welcome, Beth.
Thank you, Todd. My, I'm blushing a bit from your introduction. I didn't really do anything that anyone else wouldn't have done, if they were able to. I'm retired now, you see, so I had the time.
You're far too humble. To begin with, can you tell us a bit about the place? It's called Skipper's Strand, isn't it?
That's right. And it's actually taken its name from a kind of small brown butterfly that appears in large numbers there for several weeks every August, and has done so for as long as anyone can remember. We call them skippers, you see, because of the way they fly from plant to plant, kind of in hops and jumps. I can remember when I was a child, and my parents would always take my sister and me there in August with our butterfly nets, and we would run around for hours trying to catch them. I don't think we ever caught any, thank goodness. Anyway, as the town built up throughout the 60s and 70s, Skipper Strand was left, miraculously, more or less in its natural state. And by last year, when they were getting ready to develop the golf course, it was one of very few natural coastline areas left in our part of the country.
When you saw the signs announcing the development plans, how did you feel?
I was shocked and saddened, naturally. This was a place I had grown up with, and in turn my children had grown up with as well, and everyone I knew felt the same way. I don't know how the city could even have considered allowing it to be developed. I guess they were blinded by the possibility of more tourism and profit.
And then what did you do?
Well, I started speaking about it to everyone I met first, and found out that we all felt strongly that this shouldn't happen. Then I began to read up on some of the laws about development decisions, very complicated stuff. It was a slow process, quite discouraging. I was just looking everywhere for a way that we could exercise our rights and have a say about the future of our town. In the end, the breakthrough came from the little brown butterflies.
That is the end of part four. You now have 2 hours and 10 minutes to complete the rest of the paper.